Welcome to Off the 99, a weekly radio show about news, politics, and all things Merced, brought to you by the Merced Sun Star and KYOS. I'm your host, Amira Butt, along with my co-host, Mike North, and this is Off the 99.
Former Atwater City Manager Greg Wellman joined Off the 99 in the studio this week to discuss his retirement, new job, and political forecast.
Wellman was recently given an award earlier this month in Monterey by the League of California Cities for his 43 years of work in local government.
Topics included Governor Brown's proposed budget, high-speed rail, Merced being placed third on Forbes' list of most miserable cities in the U.S., and Wellman's thoughts on interim city manager Stan Feathers in Atwater. So it was early November when you retired from the city, right, Greg?
That's correct.
Okay.
November 3rd, to be exact.
And are you enjoying your retirement, or are you still technically retired?
I'm very much enjoying my retirement, in quotes.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty busy
right
now, but hopefully there'll be some time to do some personal stuff.
Any new job prospects by chance, or anything you're looking toward, full or part-time?
I am, as of last week, the general manager of Keys, Water, Sanitation, and Lighting District. And that's the board and I are going to try to keep it to 16 hours a week.
Okay.
What else?
You're done with the 50-hour weeks then, right? For
yes.
Now, okay.
What else have you been doing in your spare time?
I've been doing some consulting with a couple of cities and looking at some work with the state of California as well. Nothing formal with the state yet.
Right.
Okay, and I got word that you were recently given an award in Monterey for your service in government, working in government. Can you explain that to us?
Well, the League of California Cities gave me a nice plaque and kiss on the cheek for 43 years.
43 years.
Yeah. Wow.
And what kind of aspects of government have you worked in during those 43 years?
Well, I really have worked in virtually every aspect. Mm-hmm. I've been a probation officer, a supervising probation officer, a social worker, an administrative analyst, directed the jobs training program, directed human services agency, was a personnel director, risk manager, labor negotiator, assistant county administrator, UC Merced project director, county administrator.
That's a long resume.
It sounds like you know the ins and outs of local government then.
Virtually every functional area that delivers services hands-on to the public.
Right.
And that's to me the very rewarding thing about local government, and to my mind sets the country apart from other nations of the earth that don't have strong, the typical dictatorship does not have a strong local government element, very heavy on the federal side.
Right. What made you kind of be so interested in local government?
Well, I came out of school in 1967, and I mm-hmm. needed a job before I went in the infantry training.
Oh, wow.
I'm the only, to my knowledge, the only one in my family that works in government. Hmm. And I was just fascinated by it. And as you can see, the fascination continues, because there's always something, if you're willing to go into it without a bunch of training and learn quickly, there's always room for you to take those risks. And most of the time, I gotta say that I've had very good sponsors along the way that have really supported me.
And after 43 years of working in local government, it's probably hard to get out of it. That's almost twice as long as I've been alive. So I can't even imagine working for 43 years in government. are you still keeping up with what's going on in Atwater, what's going on in Merced County?
You know, I keep up with what's going on, I think, generally in the state. Obviously, I'm in my consulting business. I have to be more detailed. I've tried to keep away from Atwater I figure that 8-year run, I finished out the contract with the city, and they have a new city manager there. And
right.
I know he's got his hands full, and if he needs something, he can call. But otherwise, I just need to not be there.
What do you think about Stan Feathers? He's the interim city manager in Atwater.
That's
right.
Correct.
Now, and I'm not going to ask you if the council should appoint him or anything like that, but what do you think of him through your dealings with
Well,
Stan?
You've got to keep in mind, I'm not terribly objective when it comes to Stan, because I've known him for well over 30 years. He served in the mid to late 70s when I was assistant county administrator.
Mm-hmm.
He served as our administrative intern from Stanislaus State University. And very, very, very valuable individual, tremendous credentials, real integrity, and he's just tough as nails.
He's very meticulous too, isn't
yeah.
he? Yeah.
Hmm. So recently, Atwater City Council passed some resolutions in trying to protect their redevelopment funds in reference to Governor Brown's proposed budget. How do you think his proposal on cutting RDAs is going to affect cities like Atwater, Livingston, Merced?
Well, I think it depends upon what your view of redevelopment is. If on the one hand you believe that redevelopment helps to eliminate blight and
right.
to encourage development
mm-hmm.
through increased property values, which increments are used to debt finance infrastructure and other improvements, then you come down on the side of it's worth the risk, because we create jobs.
Right.
What kind of jobs do you create? That depends upon the agency itself.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, your redevelopment agency is a 30-year effort, and in Atwater, in other places, extended to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a long-term process of looking at keeping primarily undesirable parts of town, making them desirable.
Right.
Attracting business and therefore creating jobs. In addition, a certain amount of those redevelopment funds are used for used to be called affordable housing.
Right.
Okay. Usually a 20%. My personal feeling is that it just depends upon the results. You know, if you can tie the results of redevelopment to increasing jobs, increasing tax base, increasing ability to provide police and fire services, mm-hmm. you've got a winner. Frankly, I think the city of Merced has been especially adept at doing a good job on redevelopment.
Now, I've talked to Scott McBride, the Economic Development
yeah.
Director in Atwater, and he's real big on RDA funds. And if my memory serves me right, I think he said 1,500 jobs had been created in Atwater through redevelopment. Does that number sound?
Scott is an absolute good example. In fact, he's a great example because he does so many things. Multi-talented guy, and I hadn't planned on talking about Atwater per se,
mm-hmm.
but Scott is largely responsible for not only the redevelopment activity, but all the economic development activity within the city of Atwater. And it's absolutely true. If you look at the Super Target, 178,000
right.
square feet, Super Walmart, last I remember, was 164,000 square feet. The jobs that are created there, plus that entire area. And then you look at something that's frequently overlooked, like Mi Pueblo.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Been in there. That's a great store and a family atmosphere. It's a great place to go to lunch. There were a couple hundred jobs there as well. So it's
and that was an RDA type project?
It was, I'm not recollecting exactly what the connection was. I'm not sure if that was in an RDA zone, but it could have been adjacent to an RDA zone.
Right. But it sounds like some things might be changing with the state budget.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that you still follow state politics.
I do.
What do you think about the budget process currently?
What I think about the state budget currently is that there are going to have to be cuts. They're going
right.
to be deep. And there are no sacred cows.
Right.
And you're going to see cuts perhaps in redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
The proposal is to, in essence, abolish redevelopment as
right.
a tool. And the state has not differed from that original position. They haven't modified or softened their position.
Right.
We look at the state budget over the years. You typically have the leaking of material in November. And then, you know, we kind of get a direction as to where the state is headed.
Mm-hmm.
In January, you have the governor's state of the state, and then we usually get a printed draft copy of the budget that you
right.
all can report on. And then it kind of goes back and forth with all the backroom deals until the May revise,
mm-hmm.
which is typically mid-May. And then from that point goes to the legislature, and if we're lucky, we get a budget by midsummer. Well, the rest of us have to adopt a budget prior to June 30th. So even at the county
mm-hmm.
and the city, you're flying blind. You're making the very best estimates you can, hoping that your intelligence is correct, but knowing that you're gonna go back and modify this thing.
Right. Well, the state expects hard times. I know the county expects hard times, and
right.
all the cities too. The county is expecting layoffs, and we're just in a time of uncertainty right now, I guess it's fair to say. And what do you think? Do you think the public's perception of state government is changing, or this budget process?
I think in the Valley that most families and individuals are concerned about meeting their monthly payments.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you. I think there's not necessarily the kind of scrutiny
mm-hmm.
On local government that you would have from those that might be able to do it in normal times or get involved or serve on commissions or that kind of thing. But I think once the effects are known, I mean, we're talking about effects that will likely hit healthcare,
mm-hmm.
Police, fire, all kinds of social and support services, mental health, everything across the board.
And that's at a local level.
That's at a
yeah.
local level. And as I'm fond of saying, when you need, we are very proud in Atwater of having a 90-second response time with
mm-hmm.
our police. You know, when's the last time you called Sacramento or Washington, D.C. when you really needed help?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, we have to work with those folks. So, you know, we're not trying to be critical, but local government is really where it's at. And when we make a mistake, it is immediately
brought to your attention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As far as state government, while Brown's in, do you think state government will get bigger by the time he's out or much smaller?
Oh, no, I think he's serious about
yeah.
this. And I think he's I think he's committed to making government smaller. I think he's committed to the smart use of technology. I think
mm-hmm.
he's not afraid to try new things. And, you know, he's going to be remarkably open about
mm-hmm.
it. I mean, after all, what is he, 72?
Yes.
What are we going to do, eat him?
Well, he's definitely been around government, so he knows the ins and outs.
Yes, he
and,
does.
Yeah.
Well, just to get off on a tangent here, what do you think about the high-speed rail? Do you think that kind of plays into that building up infrastructure and technology?
Well, what did you think of Obama's announcement this week about $53 billion for high-speed rail?
Well, I'm torn
mm-hmm.
on that one. I'm torn on that one because I believe so much in investing, not spending, but investing
hmm.
in infrastructure. Because I think all you have to do is look at our road system.
Right.
And, interstate and statewide road systems that provide our trucking industry, provide 70% of the movement of goods
right.
throughout our nation. And had we not taken that step in the Eisenhower and later years to improve the road system, where would we be? So it sounds like a horrendous cost to do this high-speed rail. It is horrendously expensive.
Right.
It will, however, create jobs. And the last time I looked around the Central Valley, that's the number one thing we need.
Unemployment is very high, yes, you're
right. You know, we've been called Little Appalachia.
mm-hmm.
Right.
Let's get some attention
mm-hmm.
for once.
And you're talking about Little Appalachia. Recently, I think it was last week that Forbes named Merced the third most miserable city in America. Was it fourth?
I think it was fourth, yeah.
What? Is that really fair? Is that warranted? I mean, in the U.S.
Heavens no, it's not warranted. But my wife, I got to tell you, my wife, before I had another appointment before I came down here, and she said, now, they're going to ask you about living in the third most miserable
city.
She should have
come on the show,
United
too.
Well, we moved here in 1956, and Merced was, what, 12 or 13? I don't know what it was. It was very small.
Wow.
And we've raised four kids here. Unfortunately, none of them, they're all married.
All
in health care. Nobody's around here. We have to travel to see them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've got some particular challenges with the poverty index. There's no question about that. I have trouble looking at this area as being more miserable than some of the areas that I've been in more metropolitan areas. And I don't want to mention any.
Right.
But, I mean, you got Michigan that's flat on their backs and the Rust Belt and others.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. But I also don't want to underestimate the demographics here. I mean,
right.
we did a study in the early, it's 20 years ago now, but, you know, we took a look at teen pregnancy rates, you know, educational levels,
mm-hmm.
Median and family income, individual income, and this area, the 8 or 9 valley counties, really a good article. I think it came out maybe in the LA Times. It was called The Valley of the Poor.
Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, don't take this to the bank, but as I recall, if you considered the 8 or 9 Valley counties a state, there was only one state that was poorer, and that was Mississippi.
Oh, wow.
So that was the general result.
Okay.
And we're an agricultural economy. You're going to continue to have agriculture, I think, because of the globalization of commerce,
right,
you continue to have the valley play an important role in production, processing, and distribution.
Do you think the role of Merced might change a little bit? Because I can't help but think we have UC Merced here. It's going to bring in maybe promote education, bring in maybe some more technology to the area.
More businesses.
More businesses. Do you think it might change?
Absolutely. That's going to happen. And what is also going to happen is we're going to get a medical school here.
That's true, yeah.
And if you've been, you know, the last committee meeting I was allowed to attend as city manager at Outwater, I'm so impressed with the group they've put together. And they're not just blowing smoke. I mean, they're out there really, I mean, they know they've got to raise $350 million for the physical plant. But they've got a plan. And that's their good news, and they can make that announcement. But I think in the next 6 months, you're going to see some good news out of that. Now, what that will spawn, as we all know, is investment in the local community here associated with UC biomedical research,
right,
and those regenerative medicine and those really hot things.
Mm-hmm.
That are going on now. And you know, as I mentioned, all four of my kids are in healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
One of my sons works for a medical device firm and does these artificial hips, shoulders and knees, and with the baby boomers of a certain age, we're wearing out. And there's this whole glut of population that's going to need medical services. That also includes assisted care and living facilities.
Talking about changing demographics, do you think maybe we might be seeing some other changes as far as pensions? We're seeing cutbacks and layoffs, and what about pensions?
I think pension reform is absolutely going to happen. I'm a little bit surprised that it hasn't happened at the state level by now, but I think that the unions have taken some hits. You've got some of the Republican, primarily Republican caucus that is holding out for new employees coming in that they would simply be given a 401k as opposed to the very lucrative benefits that are there now. Okay? I can remember when I started, it was $469 a month.
It's changed a little bit.
It's changed
okay.
I used to call it secure poverty. And because you never had layoffs.
Right.
But for instance, our health insurance excluded pregnancy. So our first daughter, you know, we were paying her off for 5 years. I still tease her about that.
That can get expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And but you've had it go from there decade by decade by decade to the point that now some of your public sector jobs make far more than the private sector. Plus, you overlay that with these pension costs. It's just not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. Things are going to get better before they get worse. Did I say that wrong?
Things are going to
get worse before they get better.
There you go.
I'd like for things to get better before they get worse.
You know, I want to believe that we have a pretty good idea as to what needs to be done. My guess is that it's worse in virtually all jurisdictions than we think.
Right.
And I say that because of several objective pieces of data. Nationwide, we know that almost 30% of everyone who owns a home, which happens to be the major investment most of us make, is
right.
underwater. That's hugely important. You overlay that with the demographics of poverty in the Central Valley, and you understand that this is going to be likely a decade-long recovery. So if you talk about pension reform, you got to talk about looking 15, 20 years down the road.
Are we talking about for our valley or for the state?
For the valley.
Okay.
For the valley. Yeah, I'm kind of focused on the valley.
Okay.
I think there are some areas in the state that, in my view, have been relatively unaffected. Go up to Dublin, Danville,
right.
Livermore, up the 680 corridor to Walnut Creek, you know, Pleasanton area. They seem to be doing quite well.
Cool.
You know, at least my visits there would indicate that.
Right. What do you think the Valley's strongest asset is? Currently, obviously, it's agriculture, but say in the next two decades or so, would it still be agriculture?
Yeah, quite definitely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, we've got to preserve that ag land.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm not one of these individuals that feel like, you know, we have to preserve every square foot. But at the same time, we've got to realize that represents an asset. Our available labor force should represent an asset,
mm-hmm.
but needs to be trained.
Right.
If you talk to the people, for instance, at the prison, they had difficulty. They wanted to hire locally. If you talk to other people, to find somebody who can pass a literacy test, basic levels, pass a drug test,
right.
It's got decent credit. Not got a criminal record, you know, and all that, all those hurdles. In the past, columnist Dan Walters mm-hmm. has opined that the state of California may indeed be ungovernable. If it is, uh-huh. does it make any sense to consider splitting California into two or three? Does it make any sense?
Three's well.
Okay.
Well, it depends where you're living.
Yeah,
state.
that's true, yeah.
I just put that out there for a thought process. Secondly, if that's not mm-hmm. within the realm of possibility, you have, in the state of California now, in excess of 6,500 cities, county schools, special districts, tribal governments. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, can you make more effective use of your resources by combining functions, number one? That would be, let me give you a couple of examples. The county of Washoe, Nevada, mm-hmm. Sparks, and the County Department of Education are currently going through an analysis of whether they can band together and effectively utilize core management services. In other words, they have one personnel department.
Oh, okay.
You know, one purchasing department, whatever services that they could combine and reduce their overhead.
As far as police, like a centralized
like a
dispatch
city and county center.
You know, I think police may be a part of their second phase if they get through the first phase. I happen to know that because we bid it and came in second, the consulting firm mm-hmm. that I was with. There were 10 applicants and we came in second. I just got another one on my email yesterday that Kings County, it's a small example, but it's typical. They're going through to see if the county and all the cities they're in could more effectively deal with animal control, for instance, on a single administrative structure and a single service provider. I see very much that the trend out of the state and some of the pressures from the state will be toward regionalization. That I think is going to happen. And I think I gave as the example, for instance, California is one of 10 or 11 states that administers its health and human services programs through counties. Typically, they're larger states with bigger populations, large landmass. I think there's 10 or 11. California is one. So my guess is that if the state goes through what is called realignment, mm-hmm. it's nothing new. I mean, we went through realignment in the early 90s. I'm going to say 20 years ago, but not quite 20
years ago. Not just yet,
ago.
Yeah.
But the realignment is basically, these are statutory responsibilities coming from the state, heretofore funded at a certain level by the state. Mm-hmm. By the way, we're going to shift those to counties, and you're going to have to live within this revenue base. Well, obviously, if you don't get adequate revenue to meet the requirements of what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to be the one to make the cutbacks. Mm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It may be that the counties are going to be in the tough position of having to pull the trigger on behalf of the state.
Nobody wants to be in that position.
Yeah. Nobody wants to be the bad guy.
Just to change course for a second, you were involved in the UC Merced project too, right?
I can't leave that
I was
that
going
out.
To say, yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was 15 months, but that was just before I retired, and we won out over 85 other sites, mm-hmm. But we had a heck of a time with the environmental planning,
right.
Legal, getting permits, and in fact, I think they've only had their permits to build off the golf course. That was a fantastic time burner there and was almost kind of like a diving catch to get that golf course.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I guess looking back, what are some of the memories that you're proud of the most of in every aspect of government that you've probably worked in?
I guess some of the most satisfying times were when we were able, when we were running a hospital, to keep going in the face of, you know, overwhelming odds. It was also very satisfying to be able to manage at that level, both in Atwater and at the county, and bring in balanced budgets. I mean, you know, people do a lot of talking about that, but we did it. And that was very satisfying. And I really had my doubts going along, but If you've got the support of your board or your council, that's everything.
Well, I think we're about out of time. Thanks again for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Greg, really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
And you're welcome in anytime.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Off the 99, a weekly radio broadcast brought to you by the Merced Sun Star and KYOS 1480 AM. We can be heard weekly at 6 p.m. on Saturday and 6:30 a.m. on Sunday, or all the time at mercedsunstar.com. This show was produced by Amira Butt and Mike North. We'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at off the99@mercedsunstar.com or by mail at 3033 G Street, This is Off the 99.